He is Justin Davis, user experience designer and automation enthusiast.
Ah, not going with the alliteration today. Man, that would have really helped me. But I'm going to say you are Aubrey Goodman, web services and dev extraordinaire and olfactory orator.
Oh. Which that is poignant.
Yes.
Preciously poignant.
Indeed. This is a little show that we call Distilled. Welcome in. You can grab us online on Twitter. I am at JWD2A, and you can connect with Aubrey at Aubrey Goodman. You can also find this on iTunes and or Podomatic. Just search for Distilled. And as always, if you want to hear something on this show, just simply hashtag it Distilled Topics on Twitter, not those Facebook imitation hashtags.
Imposters.
So that's it. So today is an interesting episode. Coming off the heels of a discovery that I found this morning, thanks to a tip, a post that I saw on Facebook from Ruben Pressman, who had tipped me off to this, a new service called Wit. Wit.ai is the web address. If you're so inclined, you can log in with a GitHub address. Wit is nothing short of amazing, really.
Breathtaking.
Yes. Yes. One of the coolest things I've seen in a long time, very frankly.
It's almost as cool as Wolfram Language.
Yes. Yes.
Which is on its own, like, just...
Mind-blowingly cool.
Yeah, I tweeted about that after finding it, I think, through you or Marvin Scaff, that it's like, oh, great. So all of my entire professional career is now made obsolete, and I couldn't be happier.
Exactly.
Because that's how awesome Wolfram Language is.
Fantastic.
But this episode is about Wit. And we talked last year about voice command for apps.
Yeah.
That is mobile apps, desktop apps, any kind of app, wearable apps. I mean, this is where the future is, like distributed technologies and the Internet of Things. And Wit claims to be the, command language for the Internet of Things. I don't know if they've actually said that. I might make that up.
Yeah.
But it's pretty much what I know what it was. Natural language processing for the Internet of Things.
Right. That's it.
They're going to be just blowing the whole world up in a good way. With some really amazing technology that they have, it's for those uninitiated. Computational linguistics and natural language processing is near and dear to my heart.
For those very few of you,
again, hi, Gavin.
Yeah,
it's about machine learning. It's about cybernetics and it's fascinating. This concept of using natural language, the speech that we say to each other, the things we type to each other, to communicate in natural human language, whatever that language is, English, Farsi, Mandarin, whatever, Esperanto for the adventurous. But the goal, of course, with natural language processing is to allow machines to interpret things that people say and type in a way that allows the machine to add value, to respond to you in a human way. So it's sort of a pseudo-human way. And what Wit is doing is providing an API to that allows developers to build a command language for their specific domain-specific language, DSL, that allows or enables the user to do things through spoken word rather than touch interface that have never been possible before.
Right. In other words, this makes you be able to use an app by talking to it instead of actually touching it.
If you've ever asked Siri, or if you've ever considered... Man, how great would it be if Siri could enable me to tweet things and not just dictation, but actually speaking to your phone to have it do things on your behalf without you having to touch the screen.
Exactly. Yeah. If you ever wanted to say, follow Aubrey Goodman on Twitter and then tweet to him Hey, great to meet you. Yeah, great episode. You can't do that with anything right now.
None.
Just not possible.
You can speak to Google search app.
Right.
And it will really quickly and efficiently and quite accurately find whatever it is you asked it for on Google or on the web.
Right.
Or Bing if you have like a...
But you can't give commands to an application. Yeah. Any application.
None. Not in the mobile space.
Anyway. Not in the mobile space.
There are apps that will do this in the desktop, but even they are very limited, require a lot of training.
Yep.
And the command language API, the infrastructure, all of that stuff is really just very new.
Wit will change all of this.
It really will.
I don't know how long it's been out, to be honest, but...
It doesn't seem like long.
No.
I can't imagine it's been out that long.
I can't imagine.
Seemingly
either.
No more than a year, and I would put a year at very... aggressive. I don't think a year is even
right.
They can't. I mean, like, I've been working on this space for a while, certainly, I mean, like, heavy for the last 3 months, and I've only heard about them from you. So
right. Yeah, exactly. I want to make a small just point that I just noticed that it makes this fanboy very happy. Across the top of the documentation area of their site, they have various categories of documentation, HTTP API, Wit for Websites, which is their JavaScript implementation of their microphone type of stuff, iOS, Android, and Node.js. And
wait,
there you
they
go.
Put Node in the same category as iOS and Android?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. Interesting, because I think Node will, and this is a topic for another episode.
No, maybe next
week. I think Node will eat the internet. I think Node will become the de facto back end of the internet, but we'll go.
I think that's possible. As a Rubyist, I hate myself for saying it out loud, but I almost agree with you.
Yeah. So, anyway, that aside, we'll save that rather poignant and
incendiary
episode for another day.
Yeah.
So, what kind of things are possible with the Wit, right? So, well, I mean, we talked about it. You can command anything. So, for example, I'll talk about Drawer a little bit. So, a Drawer, for those not familiar, Drawer is an app that helps you keep track of the places that you want to try and also share your favorite places with your friends and that type of thing. We're trying to do location-based connectivity in a little bit more personal way. And one of the big issues with our problem space is a very transient problem. When I'm in a conversation with somebody and somebody recommends a restaurant to me, it's very transient. It's here and gone. In one ear and out the other, quite literally. And if I require a user to then pick up an app, open the app, type in the name of the place, select it from a search list of places, select the Drawer they want to add it to, it's too much friction during that passing moment for them to actually do the task, right? And thus, Drawer doesn't get used.
Right. The squirrel
effect. It might get used later when they remember it, hopefully. But the idea is, how do we capture that transient moment as fast as possible? Mm-hmm. Well, Voice lets us do this. Because now we can pull the app out, and even especially if there's an Android widget, where you can tap on a widget and it just starts the microphone, and you say, Drawer, add Jimbo's Barbecue to my Tampa Bay Drawer. And then it goes, okay, added. And you put it right back in your pocket. Mm-hmm. And it takes that, it's that fast. That's what this kind of stuff allows us to do. Mm-hmm. Or if we're talking and Aubrey says to me, oh, do you know a great, you know, whatever place, a great Thai place? I can be like, oh, Drawer, send at Aubrey Goodman, blah, 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 place, you know, whatever Thai place, Siam Thai, with the note, you've got to try the dim sum here on Thursday afternoons. It's incredible. And then, boom.
And then have me receive that.
Then you get a push notification that says, here we go.
Yep.
You know, it's there. That's the kind of stuff that's possible, and it's incredible.
Now, I want to dig into the technical details a little bit here. There's a wonderful thing about APIs. I'm an architect. I've spent a lot of time working with cobbling things together from other things. And essentially Lego blocks. And Wit makes for a very, very sexy Lego block.
Yeah.
Because what you can do is, because it's an API, it allows me to incorporate in a lightweight fashion into my app the ability to record some audio, whether it's at the touch of a button or like Siri, where you hold down the home button, or, you know, whatever interface it is that starts that process, at some point somebody's going to talk to it, or they're going to type something, whatever that is. It provides, or WIT provides, the ability to receive either audio or text commands through their API.
Right.
So I can send them an audio clip and have them send me back not just a structured representation of what that is, but also have it match against what they refer to as intent. Mm-hmm. That we program into the system. So I was doing some testing with this today with one of my clients and good friends, Michael Lynch, CEO of Truck Spotting. You can find them on truckspotting.com or on the App Store at Truck Spotting. It's a food truck app. It helps you find food trucks. You can eventually follow your favorite food trucks and things like that. But we've been spending the last several months working on an app for truck owners to publish their location and connect with their constituents. Constituents is the wrong word. Customers is the right word. Sorry, I've been watching too much House of Cards. They want to be able to talk to and develop a rich relationship with their client base, customer base. Hungry people want to eat whatever their favorite food is. And we were thinking about ways we might incorporate this command language strategy into a mobile app. And immediately, as soon as we sat down, we started thinking of really obvious answers. Like, what's the most important thing if you're a food truck and you're trying to communicate to your customers whether or not, you know, you have certain foods available? What are your menu items? What's available? What's out of stock? You've sold out of the, I don't know, the rigatoni. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, your popcorn size large is out. So what would be great for these truck owners is to pick up this phone thing, press a button and say, add popcorn to my lunch menu.
Yeah.
And have it understand that what your intent is to add a menu item, to identify that the menu item is popcorn, and that the menu to be added or to be modified is the lunch menu.
Yeah.
We went through this as a thought experiment and then an actual experiment. And we exercised their API, and after three training opportunities, three instances where we send it a request and it says, I don't really know what that is. So then we train it to tell it, well, that means this. And they offer all the facilities for this on their web app, which is pretty comprehensive and has a wonderful user experience, save for one tiny little detail I won't get into.
Yeah.
It's amazing, because then once you set up these intents and you start training the system, and it really doesn't take a lot of training, you can start to expand on the command language in a very natural way, the way that we talk to each other.
Yeah.
So once you essentially negotiate what the rules of the conversation are, that's all you need, and suddenly it understands the context of everything surrounding that within the guidelines and context and constraints defined by that rule set. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
It's,
yeah.
I don't say that lightly.
Right.
I have a strong sense of skepticism and disbelief.
And we see a lot of amazing things.
And we do.
You know, but this is
really is
straight amazing. So now, amazing. Here's what I'm curious about. I'm curious if with this you could do passive listening and passive triggering. And so here's what I mean. I was talking to Matt about this earlier. I thought about this for years, and I've always wanted something in my kitchen that's listening, always listening. So if I realize I'm out of something, out of garlic powder, I can just say, oh, we're out of garlic powder.
Oh, shit. We're out
of
garlic powder.
And boom, it adds it to the grocery list.
Yep.
Because what happens is when I'm cooking, I will be either talking to my wife or talking to myself, and I'm like, shit, we're out of garlic powder. And that phrase, if that could be captured.
If it could just be sensitive to that phrase.
Exactly.
And ironically, or I guess amazingly, we really need to stop using that word amazing.
Yeah.
Incredibly.
Indubitably.
The WIT API provides you with a natural way of training the system to do exactly that.
Does it?
It does. Now, well, I want to talk about the ambiguity side of this, which we exercised this afternoon. So, in following the food truck idiom, we got to thinking about one kind of a weird ambiguity, which is when you say, I'm hungry for Vietnamese, I know that I'm hungry means, well, I'm hungry.
Right.
And for Vietnamese, Vietnamese isn't like a thing that I would eat. It's a right. category of things I would eat.
Hopefully it's not a thing you would eat.
What? We're not going to get it there. it's a category. And you right. and I know that it's a category right. because of context.
We understand semantics, right?
Right. But apparently so does wit. So we gave it two separate intents. One was search for category, and the other was search for menu item. And so then I trained the system to say, I'm hungry for a burger, to make sure that it would get that a burger is a menu item and not a category of
right.
food. But then I said, I'm hungry for Lebanese. And it thought Lebanese was a menu item. So I corrected it, changed it to the correct intent, set the category correctly. And now every time I say I'm hungry for Lebanese, it knows that Lebanese is a category and not right. a menu item.
Right.
So now, as we train it with more and more categories, right. it should be able to get better and better at knowing the difference.
Between the, so the question is there, is how does it, and this is the fascinating stuff, is do you have to give it a taxonomy and say, or how does it know the difference? Like
it discovers the taxonomy right, through training.
Like a burger has the article in front of it, A, mm-hmm. burger, right? But tacos, I'm hungry for tacos.
Yep.
What's the difference, from Witt's point of view, what's the difference between tacos and Lebanese?
Memory. The simple reality that when you went in to validate the tests
yes.
and confirm the ambiguity,
right.
you confirmed it on one side of the fence or the other. So a human
which
is essentially, making the choice.
Which is essentially a taxonomy of a sort.
Correct.
Yeah.
It was what they refer to as a folksonomy.
Right.
Where that's a right. natural organic discovery of terms yep. within a domain-specific language.
Right.
And Witt does that automatically.
Yep.
So when you say, when I have two intents, I'm hungry for blank, and one of them has rules, like one of them has been taught that categories are Lebanese, Chinese, Thai, yeah. whatever. The other one has not been taught that.
Yes.
So the one that it knows the words, it will automatically figure out that the intent you wanted was the category intent because a special filter says, I realize that that word actually could match the search menu item intent, but it actually better matches
right.
the category intent.
Yes.
Now, I want to, since we're talking about tech details here, this is an API, so you send it audio or a text snippet, and it sends back a bit of structured information based on that. It tries to match what you send against an intent that you have pre-programmed, pre-trained.
Yep.
Programming is going to be a word that fades away in favor of the word training, I find. Mm. Because the smarter machines get, the more they need training and not programming.
Yep.
Just like kids need training and not
right.
programming.
Right, because they become...
They are individuals with souls.
Yeah.
Computers hopefully don't have souls because that would get really complicated. That's also another episode
yes.
topic.
Yes, I was going to say they become self-aware, but then I also don't want to go down that road right now.
Not today. No. I mean, like maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe already there.
Right.
Right. But that's terrifying. So it's trying to match what you send it against what you have trained it to identify and understand. So when it sends you a message after like the response to your request, you send it some text or audio and it sends back, here's what I think you said.
Yeah.
What it sends is an intent that matches against the pre-trained intents that you've already configured in the system, which involves things like natural sentence structure processing, and it knows verbs and nouns and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
So when I say add Malios to my Tampa meat lovers drawer, it knows that Malios is a restaurant.
Right.
Or a place to be tracked. It knows that my meat lover's drawer is a thing. And when the API receives a response, or when our system receives a response from that, it will say, oh, here's the intent. We're going to add to a drawer. Here's the thing being added. Right. That's a Malio's. And here's another thing, the target to which it is to be added, which is the Tampa Bay Meat Lovers drawer.
Right.
And it's our system that is intended, or that is required to describe or to determine from that what is being requested by the user.
Right.
I think this is amazing because it separates people's... Normally, people try to incorporate the capabilities of an app all together into one big app.
Right.
So we don't have to build all that identification and natural language processing. We just ask an API, and it sends back what it thinks. Best guess right. of what the user is actually asking for. And it's our job to take action based on the description of events.
Right. So 2 points regarding that. One, as far as when when we talk about folksonomy development in this, right, about knowing the difference between tacos and Lebanese, for example, right, because this is a community supported thing and because intents can be open and those singular intents can have many sources that are training the system, not just you. You're not responsible for just telling it that tacos are a type of food and Lebanese is a category of food.
No one is telling
right?
it that.
No,
the system, it learns that by context.
And because there's a lot of input, not just you, not a singular input. There's a community input.
Yeah, there's
you keep yourself open, right?
Diversity of opinion, I think is what they call that.
Which is a really great thing, which allows us to obviously work the way it does, which is why being an API, it's a far better design than being just a library you would stick into an app, right?
Yeah, because you get to leverage all of the collective learning experience
society.
Of the entire
society. Yes.
Not just individuals or groups of individuals.
Right. So you can also, not only can you send a single file, audio file, but you can stream audio to it.
Oh.
Yes.
So that does allow your
It does listener. Allow my...
Although
right.
the listener would use an inordinate amount of bandwidth if you're just listening to raw wave audio and piping that up.
You can stream
cloud.
MP3.
But you have to encode it.
You have to do the encoding locally, but at least you wouldn't have to...
That's cakewalk.
That's easy. Right. So you can cut it down. You can also do ULAW. I've never heard of ULAW files.
ULAW is a lossless... I think it's lossless encoding strategy, similar to WAVE,
okay.
old
and then
school.
RAW, yeah. Which RAW is huge.
RAW is huge, yes.
Wait, what's so the 7.11 codec.
That's
no seriously.
The peanut gallery.
That's the ULAW. That's part of the ULAW file codec. I'm assuming. So it's interesting, and I'm actually, when I was testing it earlier, I was testing it with one phrase, add Alessi to my Tampa drawer. But I'm curious if I was like, blah, 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 and add Alessi to my Tampa drawer, if it would sort of see through
yes.
the chaff.
I tried right? that question. I ran a compound sentence through it and said, do this and do that, hoping it would trigger two intents. It
right.
does not. It triggers one and one only.
So I just sent it, blah, 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 add Alessi to my Tampa drawer, and yeah, it got it.
But so it just ignored the blah, blah,
blah. It ignored
blah, blah,
the blah, 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 blah. It just picked up on the intent
right.
that it recognized.
So if there were two intents that it recognized, it would have to try and figure out which one
it does.
That was
first.
What I said.
So it won't send you an array.
Yeah. My thing was add Malio's to my Tampa Meat Lovers drawer and make a recommendation to Justin. That's two intents.
Interesting. So I'm going to... Yeah. Yeah. I really want to try this. Plus add Cuban to my New York drawer.
Rare episode
so
here.
So that. Oh, that's funny. It actually. that's funny. Yeah, it only gave me one entity. For place, mm-hmm. It also pulled out New York. It just knew that New York was a place.
Yeah,
which is
that gets back to folksonomy
awesome.
Though,
right? Yeah,
because
exactly.
somewhere just, in a brain and a neural network, it knows
New York is
New
a place.
New York is a
yeah.
place, probably.
Right.
It's also a state.
Wow.
It's also a state of mind.
Right. And what's funny is it actually pulled out.
Nobody? Oh.
All right, Billy.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
At least somebody got the joke.
What's funny, though, is when it pulled out location, the body that it pulled out was my New York instead of New York.
Yeah?
Because I said my New York drawer.
Mm.
Which actually, yeah, I'm not really sure what. I don't know.
There's the bird.
But anyway. But it's really cool stuff. And what's great about it as well is it is free to use, which is
if you publish your intents
and which really sounds like something you would say to somebody trying to date your daughter. Will you please publish your intents?
Yes. State your intentions.
Right. but it is free if you publish your intents, which honestly, I can't see why you wouldn't.
Yeah, why would you not?
There's nothing proprietary in an intent unless you're trying
it's like trying to own a sentence.
Yeah, yeah. So that's that, and you get unlimited queries and all that, and no doubt publishing the intents also helps contribute to the entire community folksonomy, the whole society thing which is definitely a helpful thing.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's really cool. You know, as we wrap it up here, you know, some of the examples that they have are incredible. I mean, things like set the house to 70 degrees.
Yeah.
And post the last three pictures of you on Google Plus.
Especially good.
Right? And remind me to feed the baby tomorrow at 7 a.m. I was saying to Matt, I want to take like a Fitbit form factor and turn it into a reminder and scheduler.
Like
passive
a little buzz thing.
Right. So like basically wherever I am, if I remember something, I can just tap on it, have it start listening and say, hey, set a meeting for tomorrow at 10. And have it do it instead of having to bring out the phone.
Do you remember the name of Dick Tracy's assistant? Because that's who that is.
That's
who you're
right.
talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
The phone watch, were you talking to it?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
I love that Dick Tracy like championed this idea, I think, in the 50s.
I know.
And now it's a fucking reality.
I'm telling you, like, if you want to know what the future's going to look like, just look at sci-fi from the past. And you will figure it out.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's very prophetic.
It is, and I mean, sci-fi is always a prophetic influence on, I mean, really just edgy, like edge writing is always just kind of pushing literally, I mean, sort of truism, pushing the edge and, challenging us to think outside of where we are. So I predict that in the next 6 months, we will see drawer incorporate this. We will see Truck Site and Truck Spotting incorporate this. We will see a lot of other apps start to identify this as a possible thing that people will really want to engage with. I mean, the popularity of Siri is telling. I mean, everyone uses Siri who has an iPhone. The people who don't have iPhones use Iris,
or
which is Siri backwards, which is
or Google Voice Search.
Google's voice search, or the Android service for that.
Yeah.
And everybody's jockeying for position in this space, and no one's doing an especially good job, at least not now that we know about WIT.
Right. Yeah. No kidding.
All you developers out there, the gauntlet has been laid down, and you can now consider yourselves challenged to raise the bar in your interactivity idioms.
Yeah.
And do what we threatened to do a year ago, which is to start incorporating voice interactivity into mobile and desktop applications and wearable and kiosk and
ambient
everything
else.
So at some point, you will be able to walk into your kitchen and just say out loud, set the oven to 350.
Right.
And 10 minutes later, assuming your oven knows what meat is, it will have heated that up to whatever you preheated it to.
Exactly. Perfect.
And that's how we're going to have to redact the end of this episode.
All right, folks. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll see y'all next week.
Thanks for listening, folks.
Oh, you got outro music.
Perfect.